Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our opening prelude song today is Open Now by Gates of Beauty on the insert. And it's to another tune we have in our hymn book, but these words match a lot with the scriptures that we'll hear today. And we'll play it down as a reminder of the melody, and then we'll sing.
Extra loud today.
Yeah, so they can hear it. Okay. Communion next Sunday, going into October already. Everybody can believe that. And we'll have a potluck lunch after service next Sunday. For those of you that bring in the flowers, we have a couple empty vases downstairs that need flowers in them. So they're on that red cart. If you guys want to take them home and put some flowers in them for the fall, we'd appreciate that. Are there any other announcements before we recognize? Well, you know how many years? Look, he's going to ask her. No, other announcements? Let's sing happy anniversary to my cousin. Wonderful.
We're just a little shy.
We're babies.
Just short. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary. God bless you. Happy anniversary to you. I never know if our leader with the voice is going to start that. That's why.
No, I wasn't going to let you off the hook on that one.
But he earned his pay. That's right. Oh, please join me for prayer for our invocation. God the Father, I thank you for giving us another beautiful morning, giving us another beautiful week. We're thankful for that. We ask you to be with Pastor David as he brings the word this morning, that his words would be for us what you think we need to hear. And once again, I pray for our nation. We have a hurting nation, Lord, divided. We need your help and your strength and your guidance to help us get through these times. We ask, may God bless America, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. A call to worship is page 839, Psalm 118, 14 through 20, which is all found on this page. The Lord is my strength and my power. The Lord has become my salvation.
There are joyous songs of victory in the tents of the righteous.
The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted.
The right hand of the Lord does valiantly.
I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord.
The Lord has chastened me sorely, but has not given me over to death.
Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it.
Amen. His eye is on the sparrow. Today's trivia question is, who sang that with Billy Graham Crusades?
I don't know, but Alan Fitzgerald sings it nicely.
Remember that same guy always sang us the Billy Graham Crusades, and Dave and I cannot think of his name.
That's it.
I believe he wins the prize.
Yep.
I believe that is correct. Yes.
Yeah, big guy, strong voice.
Yep. Under two.
Pardon me?
He was under two when he died.
102. Wow. Please stand.
Whenever I am tempted,
Thank you that you watch over the sparrow, that you watch over the tiniest of your creations. You protect us and you love us. You guide us toward your light and your kingdom. God, we thank you for the talents, the abilities, the blessings that you've given to each one of us. We ask that you please accept a portion of those talents and those blessings back in the form of our tithes and our offerings. As always, we ask that you multiply these funds, that you keep our eyes steadfast on you, that you may show us the proper use of these funds in our community to further your kingdom. We give you these tithes, these offerings, and our lives in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Time for prayer concerns or praises.
Yes?
From Bible study.
Oh, okay. Good.
Just an update on, he was planning to be here today, but yesterday he slipped and fell and wrenched his back again, so he's hurt again.
He needs to stay put from Monday to Saturday, and then he can join.
Have no update for well, here they are.
Flat tire.
Oh, no.
On County Road 9.
What number excuse is that, Pastor?
Well, for church wise, it's 106.
Oh, okay.
Just in general, like when my tire blew on 109, it was excuse number one.
That was halfway there.
So I guess we stay off of 109.
There's a lesson there.
Any updates on?
We were there.
Okay.
Friday, took her flower and
great.
Church bulletin and a funeral bulletin and stuff. They seemed to be doing pretty good. Which was wasn't doing too good.
Really?
But she had a good report from her doctor.
So, did you have a scheduled operation then?
Yeah, I stopped by a couple days ago and saw them. All of a sudden, hurting. Didn't want to stand up very long.
No.
Yeah.
She said she can't see, but the doctor said until she gets rid of.
Okay.
Yes. So she's fine.
Good. And she is home now.
Yes.
Oh, I don't see anything else. Doing good? Good.
Another infusion. I see the list this week, and on the 7th I'll have it.
Okay.
Then it gets back with us this morning.
Why ain't seeing back there? Back here hiding behind. Good to have you with us this morning.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Got all them good looking guys sitting in the back here, Pastor. Happy because the Buckeyes won.
Yes, they did. Broke that 22 game streak.
Game streak. Yeah.
Washington hasn't lost at home.
Right. Oh, if there's no other prayers or concerns.
Bring it back to
let's go to.
Oh, I thought we were still on announcement.
Are we? Announcement? That was half an hour ago.
All we would miss was announcements. I know.
Well, announce away.
Oh, okay. Let's see.
You missed us singing happy anniversary.
Oh,
yeah.
Almost.
Yeah, we're on page two.
Okay,
Pastor, I'm done picking on
it. Okay.
Where's Sarah?
We, yeah, I mean, this morning. We haven't
seen
Sarah
her
in
several
weeks.
Well, I did last week. She told me she wasn't coming because of family dinner.
Okay. And one time, I think she went to one of the Carolinas or something.
Yeah, she was gone.
We saw her on Friday when we were there doing music. She runs the bingo, and she's...
Yeah. They
okay.
called her in, so they could have called her in today, which
they, might have
they need to pay her.
I was going to say, I'm paid for all the hours she's there.
She'll start sending them a bill, huh?
Let her win a bingo.
So she's doing well, as far as I
can. As far as I can.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Before we pray, I was going to send around in a group text, but forgot about it yesterday. For our fall, I still have a hard time calling it a Halloween-related activity, but
fall festival.
Our fall festival here.
Yeah.
We're going to be passing out candy, so if you're at the store, you can grab an extra bag or two and bring it in that we can put it in our goodie bags with the other church-related activities.
Yeah, I guess Chesterville's Halloween is on the 25th. At least
the
week
the
before,
Saturday
we'll probably
before.
Stuff all the bags
yeah.
and things, so we could bring it in by that
so
week before the 25th sometime.
That'll give us a couple weeks if we can...
That Saturday is the week before.
Drop all
the
yeah.
yeah. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for who you are. God, we have so many of our brothers and sisters healing from procedures, trying to heal and then trying to do too much, and having to heal again. We just ask that you are with this morning. Give them your strength. We know this was a major operation, and it's taking some time for him to heal, to get his strength back. I just ask that you continue to speak to him. Give him your comfort and your peace. Be with him as she gives care, comfort, help. Strengthen her as well. God, we lift up as he continues to heal and re-heal. We know he's the type that doesn't like to stay put. But God, just allow him to slow down, to avoid activities that would re-injure his back. God, we just ask that you continue to heal from. We ask that Lear and they could get a better sense of how successful the surgery was. We lift up, as he's dealing with his own issues, our schedule. We just ask that you give him your strength as he performs double duty of caregiver and one who needs the care himself. We just ask that you continue to heal her as she is now home and hopefully can rejoin us soon. We ask that you're with she is, and whatever's going on with her, we just hope that it's just as innocent as being called in to help. Be with she continues to. We ask that you're with me she goes in for, and we just ask that that be beneficial, that it continues to strengthen her, to improve her. Be with well as he helps and he's there. God, we just ask that you are with all of our brothers and sisters who are hurting, whether it be physically or emotionally, as we continue to interact with our families and our communities and our friends. God, you are so crucially important to this society, to our lives. We just pray that we all begin to live our lives not selfishly for ourselves, but always through the lenses that you see us through. We continually fall short. We continually make the wrong decisions. We continually take a step forward and sometimes two steps back. And during those times, we can be critical of ourselves. But God, the truth is, you are never, ever critical of us. That as we take those two steps back, you call us forward to begin the journey yet again. The journey where you promise to take our hands, steady our feet, keep our eyes focused on you, because all other ways will cause us pain. All other ways will lead us to destruction. All other ways will cause us to fail. And our failure grieves you like we could never, ever imagine. You are the true Father who sits and watches his children make decisions and make choices and do things that you know are harmful to us. But yet, you reach out and you hug and you cry on our behalf and you call us to shake it off, to stand up, and to get back on the path that you've placed us on. God, we're living in a hurting world where people need to stand back up and get back on the path that you have placed before us. I pray for each one of us that, first of all, we continually stand back up. And second of all, as we're walking down that path and we see somebody who is down, who has stumbled, who has fallen short, that we reach out our hand, which is really your hand, to help them stand back up and allow us to walk toward that glory together. And God, as we pray for one another, as we lift each other in prayer, as we think of those who are hurting, as we do every Sunday, we ask you to remind us of this short prayer. The prayer that encapsulates all you are and all you want for us. The prayer that says, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our prayer hymn today is Leave It There, which is 522. Thank you.
scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 118. I find myself several times in Psalm 118. I don't know how that happens, but I read this several times. When the little guy Dave, he'd say, "I like to read those psalms before I go to sleep." I said, "You just keep reading it." Psalm 118, we'll start with verse 15. "There are glad songs of victory in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has punished me severely, but he did not give me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank that you have answered me, and I have become and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." This is the word of God for the people of God. Living today, planning for tomorrow.
Psalm 118 has a lot of biblical truth that we hear one another from time to time. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This morning's message was instituted a little bit, well, not a little bit, quite a bit, over the past several weeks, thinking about this body, thinking about what God is calling us to, hopefully. And so I entitled it, "Living for Today, Planning for Tomorrow." God calls each one of us to look at today in its entirety, in its beauty, in the blessings that are there for us. But yet there's really two sides of things that we have to look at moving from that is, today is promised, tomorrow is not. So there's this fine line that we have to walk of enjoying today, enjoying our lives today and living fully in today, but also preparing for tomorrow, but preparing for tomorrow wisely, not foolishly. So today we gather to reflect on the timeless truth. How do we live fully in the present while wisely preparing for the future? Our lives are a delicate balance between embracing the gift of today and stewarding the hope of tomorrow. The Bible calls us to live with intention and faith and to trust God's provisions. And today, we'll explore what that means to live today and plan for tomorrow. First, we're called to live fully in today. As we live today, we are to excel in our love for Christ. Everything that we do should be done with Christ in mind. Now, that doesn't mean that we all have to go to seminary. That doesn't mean that we all have to work for a nonprofit or a church-related organization. The world needs accountants. I think the world needs attorneys. I'm still out on that. We all know that the world needs farmers. The world needs mothers and fathers and teachers. So we're called to live each day as it is a gift from God, a fresh canvas of His grace. In Matthew 6:34, Jesus reminds us to not be consumed by worry about tomorrow, but to focus on the present. Living today means being present, truly present with God, with others, and with the work that He has set before us. To be present with God, one of the things that we can do is start each day with prayer and gratitude, as we saw in Psalm 118:24. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. When we anchor our day in God's Word, when we seek His presence, we find peace and purpose, no matter the circumstances. Living today also means that we are to be present with others, loving our neighbors today, listening to our friends today, serving our family today. Extend kindness to strangers. Jesus showed us that every encounter is an opportunity to reflect God's love. Be present in our work, whatever that happens to be. Whether our day involves a job or caring for others or studying, do it all with excellence. Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as if working for the Lord." Today's faithfulness builds tomorrow's blessing. Living fully in today doesn't mean ignoring the future, but it does mean trusting God with what lies ahead so that we can focus on the now. There are a lot of activities in our lives that distract us, that keep us from the purpose that we're called to. God's singular purpose for all of us, whether we're an accountant or a stay-at-home mom or a teacher or, yes, even a lawyer, our single most important purpose is to show the love of Christ to all we encounter. I hearken back to our time when our children were young and in school. One of the important things in life is to understand what your strengths are and what your weaknesses might be. My lovely wife decided, because of some challenges that our oldest had with a type A personality in the classroom, she decided we should probably bring the kids home and homeschool. I was all for it. I celebrated it. I loved it. It was a great time for her to do it. I didn't arbitrarily walk away from that duty. But I love my children. Couldn't have done it. Now, I've taught at universities, I've taught at high schools, older kids. I feel that I maybe was even halfway decent at it. But I don't know if my own children were the model that God would have us jump into. First of all, there would have been way too many children in the classroom. You've got the four of them and me. So what we found out is there needs to be an adult, and that was Tammy's job. So we have to know what our strengths are and what our weaknesses are, and try to get into situations where we're accentuating our strengths and minimizing our weaknesses. So my strength was coming home at the end of the day and listening to the kids talk about what they had to do for school. Now, I will tell you, early on in their education, it was a lot of fun when it was a lot of making pies and learning measurements and going to the zoo and learning while they were there. As they got older, it got a lot less fun. Because when a paper was due on Tuesday, a paper was due on Tuesday. So we're called to do each thing each day as if doing it for the Lord, and I knew that I was not prepared. I was not the one to do that task for the Lord and for my children. So we have to look at what we do each day, and we have to go to the things and try to do the things where we're strong and find helpers for those opportunities where we struggle a bit. But we're also to be wise planners for tomorrow. While Jesus cautions against worry, Scripture also encourages us to be good stewards of our time and our resources. Proverbs 21:5 says, "The plan of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty." Planning for tomorrow is an act of faith when done with humility and trust in God's guidance. So the first thing that we are to do is seek God and His will for our plans. James 4:13-15 reminds us to say, "If it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that." Our plan should align with God's purpose, seeking His wisdom through prayer and Scripture. A saying that Tammy and I often liked to say to one another when we were early on in our marriage and in our parentage: when we plan, God laughs. Because we can plan, we can make all of the arrangements, but if we do it outside of what His will for us is, those plans will come crashing down. We should prepare for tomorrow with diligence. Like the ant of Proverbs 6:6-8, who prepares for winter, we are called to work diligently and plan responsibly. This might mean saving for the future, investing in relationships, or growing in faith to face tomorrow's challenges. And what I sort of want to talk a little bit more about this morning is balancing today and tomorrow with faith. The key to living today and planning for tomorrow is faith. Faith anchors us in the present, trusting God's provisions for each day's needs. Faith also propels us forward, believing God is already at work for our tomorrows. We had a meeting last week after service about putting together a plan, some outreach activities, some things to move us forward, ways to help our community. And one of the things that I took away from that time together really drove the title of this message this morning. We're to live faithfully today. But we have to realize that tomorrow is going to look entirely different than today. And as we get farther away from the yesterdays, they are unrecognizable oftentimes as we look with our eyes of today. So I believe that it is an opportunity for us as a church to begin to put some things together to plan for tomorrow. One of the things that I think would be helpful, we have some great committees that do a lot of great things here in this body. One of the things I think we need is, and I don't know, we'll have to sort of ferret this out a little bit, but a service committee. There are a number of opportunities where we may have to put together some service opportunities, some ways on a continual basis to reach out to the community. There are some churches who have food pantries. There are some churches who offer meals to those who can't afford. I don't know what those look like, but I would love to have a group of people whose passion. It's different, in my opinion, than the outreach opportunities, which are sort of one-off opportunities to go out and do the thing for the fall harvest festival. And those kinds of opportunities. This is, I think, a bigger picture of how can we put permanent things in place to serve our community and surrounding. One of the things that I would love to talk about, I don't know what this looks like, but I would love to think about maybe a midweek contemporary church service where we have more worship based music, some younger, maybe talk to Ben across the street and see if he would like to be involved, one who is younger than myself. But if we've learned anything from the events, the assassination of Charlie Kirk, one of the things that churches and pastors have to be aware of is that it has ignited an army of young college-age people, that I would love to have this building entertain and invite and give them the opportunity to come and to worship Christ in this wonderful old church, bringing the old and the new together for the purpose of sharing the gospel, bringing people closer to a life with Christ. The problem with these opportunities is that oftentimes you have to make the plans in the void of what seems to make sense moving forward. One of the things that we talked about last week was possibly putting a soccer field or playground equipment or something in this large grassy area that we've been blessed with having right here in the center of town. And the struggle you always have with that is, well, Chesterville is a relatively old community. And I agree with that. But for Chesterville and the surrounding areas to attract the younger and the life-giving youth that will prevent this community from passing away as we all pass away, we have to have opportunity to bring younger people into our communities. And as we shared last week, one of the things that is the stalwart of this community, and you see it when you drive up and down 95, is Chesterville Community Church. Standing boldly and proudly for all of these years, always inviting those who were seeking Christ, always having the mentality of come and encounter the Lord that we serve. And as we age, we have to provide the opportunity for the younger generations to come in and to take over where we have left off. And today, now is the time to plan for tomorrow. even though it doesn't make sense, even though we have no idea who this is for, I think it's helpful if we have a group of those who are committed. Maybe it continues and it includes a group that is praying for our community. A prayer time opportunity where people can come in and receive prayer, and we have those who are gifted in praying for others. But God tells us to be wise with today. But don't ignore tomorrow, because tomorrow might not come for you or for me, but it's surely going to come for somebody. And I would love to see this community grow, to have children running around laughing and playing. And for whatever degree we can help and we can participate and we can provide some service to those who are in need as they begin to come into our community, I would love to begin to prepare for tomorrow. Because this community has been, although when Tammy and I moved into the area from Westerville 20 plus years ago, we moved into Marengo, we built our house in Sparta, but the first place that we knew, the first place that Tammy really took, our children was the library. I don't know why that. My children, as they were younger, had no idea what Chesterville, Ohio was, but spent a good block of their time here. And I would love to be part of that reigniting of this community. So one of the things I would like to do, and we can talk about this as we move forward. God bless Mike. First thing he said to me last week was, okay, what are we doing? That's the mindset that God wants us to have, to prepare for tomorrow, to live today in its entirety, to love one another and pray for one another, but also prepare for what is about to happen. I trust. One of the things that we know is that Columbus is outgrowing itself, Delaware is outgrowing itself, and guess where the next stop on 71 is? Little old Morrow County. And this is a message that I would love to give to our county commissioners, as this community in its entirety needs to be prepared. Not just the churches as we prepare for how we're going to serve one another, but how are we going to welcome those who are coming into Morrow County, into Chesterville, into Marengo, into Sparta, into Mount Gilead, and Cardington, and Edison, and all of the places around. So, my message this morning is simply, let us as a body live wisely today. Live with the strength and the comfort and the beauty that God has given us this day. But let us as a church and a body and a family prepare to grow, prepare to serve, to pray, prepare to be able to open our doors in ways that we haven't thought of before, that may or may not make sense to us today. One of the things that I tell my activity person at the seniors, give it a try. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And I think that's the attitude that we have to, through prayer and through discussion with one another, try to do things that make sense or not make sense, but let's do it for the love of Christ and for the love of those who might need the experience of coming face to face with Jesus Christ and all that he has planned for us in this building, who has stood here for decades with its beacon of hope and life and its message of salvation to those who enter the doors and accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. So let us today live wisely for today and prepare and plan for tomorrow. Will you please pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I know sometimes you speak to me in odd ways. You speak to me more through my day-to-day activities than through any divine revelation that I feel or that I sense. God, the one thing that I have felt so strongly for this community and for this congregation is that you're calling us to plan. You're calling us to welcome. You're calling us to prepare. You're calling workers into your harvest. But before we can go into the harvest, we have to be prepared. Excuse me. We have to be strengthened. We have to be trained. I just pray that as we begin to plan, that we talk and pray and communicate with love with one another, that we do so as you have instructed us to do, with love. Whatever we do, if it doesn't have a foundation of love, it will fail. Because nothing of yours that can be successful outside the bounds of your love. God, as always, I personally thank you for this congregation. I thank you for this church. I thank you for this building with its gorgeous brick. It stands tall here in Chesterville, Ohio, calling those who would come and knock on the door. And your promise that you will open. You will invite them in and you will minister to and through them. Allow us to be good stewards of this facility, of our time, of our finances. But let us do so in preparation for what you would have us become as we move forward. Let us look back to yesterday as a time of celebration, a time of joy of where we have been. But yesterday looks much different than tomorrow. Speak to us, guide us. Develop a plan that reflects your beauty and your love. We ask all of this in your glorious and wonderful name. Amen.
Amen.
Closing hymn is Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, 133 in your hymn book.
Please stand.
Go with the knowledge of the last line that the psalmist in 118 shared with us. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Go in that love and in that peace, living wisely for today and planning for tomorrow. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.